Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. We're delighted to be here with you for our twice a week episode on singlehood and dating. We've got a couple of questions that have come from our online viewers to address the main topic today of wanderlust, dating, distance, and traveling together. I'm Kate Holmquist. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, and I'm Rachel as well.
So let's see what do people come up with? We wanted to talk today about the idea of distance. It's obviously a factor in all relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I know I work a lot on the fact that I kind of go for distant men in some way.
Yeah.
It's been kind of a feature of my growth work that's evolved out of dating work is how I manage to find so many varieties of distance in
Right. So there's a different kind of distance. You know, they don't have to live across the country or across the world.
Right, exactly.
For us to have distance be an issue.
Right. And so kind of traveling together, traveling distances to see someone or having a long-distance relationship where there's kind of a touristy element even to your time together. That's
yeah.
been something I've dealt with, and I know many people do.
But I
actually think most of the questions that we're going to address today have to do with traveling together.
Yeah.
Kind of travel as an element of relationship, almost on the level of, like, meeting the parents, for example,
yeah.
as kind of a life event in the life of a relationship. So
yeah.
I'm excited to see what questions people
yeah.
have and what we'll come up with.
Well, yeah. Well, let's start out with a question from our online caller, Claire, who asked, how soon is it okay to plan a vacation with a new boyfriend, and what advice should I keep in mind for that first trip away together?
Good question. Well, do you have a gut reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I love this one because I recently started a relationship and traveled very early, you know,
yeah.
traveled.
Like
you
how
know,
soon?
Oh, gosh, how soon was it? I think it was probably, it was about 2 months in mm-hmm. to the relationship. I went away for a weekend.
Okay.
And, you know, it was too soon. I kind of had the same question. And at the same time, you know, I love traveling. And, you know, part of one of my goals in a relationship was to have somebody I could travel with. That was
sure.
one of the things I wanted. So
yeah.
I just decided to go for it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So in my mind, it's always okay. And, you know, it's going to bring up other issues. It's going to tease things up. You know, I was traveling when I did not yet have we weren't yet exclusive with each other. That's
sure.
a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't mean there's a hard and fast rule that you can't travel with someone that in that kind of case.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm in agreement. I wouldn't hold that there's a magical time frame after which it's okay to travel and before
yeah.
which it's not. I've considered it at as early as a week.
Yeah.
I didn't wind up triggering that particular thing. I think the first significant travel I've ever had in a relationship probably came at about the 3 month mark. And what I remember about myself on that trip is the amount of kind of dreamy space I inhabited
yeah.
as I was with my guy at that time in this new place, you know, finding
yeah.
myself going, oh, I'd like to live on a farm someday. Oh, I'd like to live on a farm someday. And, you know, like, it was kind of a first experience of talking about what sort of life we might
yeah.
each like to have and whether that meshes together. But but apart from our day-to-day, in a way that was useful but also sort of disturbing and fantasy-oriented.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's what, you know, it's a pro and con of travel early on with someone. You know, the pro is we're going to be in this exciting environment where
yeah.
things are lovely and exciting. And, you know, we've talked before
peaceful.
About, yeah, the brain loves novelty.
Yeah.
yeah, peaceful, novel, not stressful, you know.
Yeah.
And that's you know, makes for a very exciting date without having to necessarily create it from the conversation,
yeah.
which is also a con of it. You know, it's
right.
this artificial, you know, this is the way things are between us,
mm-hmm.
or maybe this is the way things are because we're in a brand new city
right.
with each other having this exciting
sure.
experience and don't really see what it would be like in the day-to-day life of, you know, this is what I think about and worry about during the day, and this
right.
is what you think about, and how do we negotiate those things and make meaning and meaningful conversation?
Yeah. Well, and I have two counterpoints that are almost both, they're opposite of each other and on the other end from what you were saying. I have experienced travel times, you know, with a significant other to be just this very fruitful kind of stepping back. What's my vision for my life? What am I satisfied with and dissatisfied with that you know, that's another feature of a relationship I want to have, is I want someone who can support me in those big questions, and having that time apart to do it was sort of a first opportunity for those things to come up. But now the opposite of that is, some of the highlights for me in traveling have been that, and have also been things like, I notice how my guy is interacting with everyone we come across. You know, I remember looking out of a hotel lobby window, seeing him near our car, chatting with somebody, and being like, I love that dude. I love the way he's being, you know, and having it be one of those sort of oddly crystallizing moments. Now, I think I was, what I wish I'd done with that is sort of go, no, why haven't I had that moment like before in these 3 months we've had together? Mm. What is it about our life back here in Chicago that doesn't like lend itself to me seeing him interacting with people in ways that I love and appreciate?
Yeah.
It sort of scared me in a way that was the first time I'd sort of seen that level of decency or something like that. I wish I'd have taken it back.
Yeah. And you know what I think is like, what was different in your mindset and, you know, inside you, not with him necessarily, but with you that was brought up by travel. And I think it's just, you know, I noticed that in myself, that it's like I have this fantasy about travel, as it's like, you know, it's this beautiful, wonderful thing. And it is fun.
Absolutely.
And I do, you know, like it and enjoy it. I was at a networking event on Monday and asked a few people this question, you know, if you had a magic wand and could do anything, what would it be?
I like that.
And the majority of them said I'd quit my job and travel. And there's something that's to me that's sad about it. That's like I would leave my life that I've created as it is, and I'd go sort of away and do this other thing that's not so grounded in reality. And I want to have both, you know, a life that matters to me and is meaningful to me, and I enjoy as it is.
Yep.
And that travel is just sort of like the icing on it, not an escape. And
right. It has a purpose.
Yeah.
Recreation in the sense of creating yourself anew, and renewal for whatever is the work of your life.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people hold it that way.
Yeah.
I think from that perspective, when we go on spiritual travel as a Right Foundation group, we kind of joke that what we do on those trips in terms of personal development, we could do anywhere. We could get in a bus and go around the block and have that level of sort of deep interaction with one another, with ourselves, with, you know, truth, beauty, all the big things you think about when you sort of go and take that time away. But really that essence, that way of living is available everywhere. And I think about that in reference to what you're saying, and I also think about it in terms of, like, what I think I've learned about a person from travel, from the big stuff traveling. I could have just as easily learned, and have learned in some ways, from a trip to Whole Foods or how we took the bus together
right.
in town. You know, there are just, as you said, it's not. I don't want to need to travel in order to know what I know or to live the life I love. It's something different.
Well, I think this is beautiful, and it's sort of, you know, the second half of this question was, what advice should I keep in mind for this first trip away together? And we're, you know, we're not talking about the concrete, like, this is what you do or don't do to get along.
Yeah.
You know, I think my sort of any nugget of advice I'd give for it is really around using travel to learn more about each other and to sort of, like, have that experience that's going to inform the relationship.
Right.
And also about bringing that, you know, what you learn and the space that you create back into the relationship at home and in the day-to-day, so that it's, you know, so that that moment when you see him interacting with someone, you know, you can have that or feel that or say, what is that when you are at Whole Foods?
If you use it to point you toward your yearnings and to be in the inquiry of what elements do I want in my life to recreate whatever about this was so satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the other, I guess, more point of advice I would say is, travel is a huge exercise in being in touch with what you want generally. You know, if you look at a day unplanned in travel, like, it's all your creation. Unless you've picked some tour and you've paid $1,500 for someone else to lead you around, you have to create it. So I find, you know, whenever I'm traveling with another human being, whatever kind of relationship we have, I feel most challenged to just say what I want in a given moment, especially if what I want is something different from what he or she wants, and even more especially if what I want is to not be with them at that moment. And I think that's really difficult for people who are traveling, you know, in order to travel with somebody special.
Yeah.
Is to just say, you know what, I need time to myself. There are things I want to do that you don't want to do on this trip.
Yeah.
It would be okay for us to each have our separate adventures for 2 hours.
Or
I'll do the errands while you do the piece of work you need to do. Like that it's okay to go apart and come back together.
Yeah.
But the real exercise is how you work that out.
Yeah.
And how you kind of keep clearing yourself in the moment when you feel scared to say what you want.
Yeah.
And to not think like the measure of a relationship is how well we do when we're stuck in the same car together for 16 hours or same hotel room or whatever.
Yeah.
But to just keep to know that your individual needs for separation.
Yeah.
You know, to talk about it in terms of that we have the desires for closeness and the desire for individuation.
Yeah.
That doesn't change when you leave home.
Yeah.
And I think people don't honor that enough, that I still have the need to, you know, have an hour to myself and just be with my own thoughts and feelings
and
who I am. Is that challenging?
No, it's great, actually. It's bringing up, you know, I've got a trip planned as you know, with this new guy. In August. I'm thinking about it in terms of that and realizing it has been a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I've, you know, traveled with girlfriends in the past.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that feeling, what got me was that 16 hours in a car. I mean, I literally had 3 days on a bus with a friend and, you know, came away from it thinking like, God, I would never want to marry someone like you. But really, 3 days on a bus with anybody is a pretty big challenge.
That's a challenge.
So there's a different lens rather than like, these are sort of the horrible things about us that don't work. More of like, I'm hitting a limit where I'd like some time to myself now.
Right.
We probably both are.
Right.
Let's reconvene.
I mean, I just had one like this where I traveled with a friend and we sat down by the pool with books in hand and all of a sudden she wanted to just download on the whole day we'd had. And I kind of had to go, I want this to just be the reading quietly time. You know, we'll have a car ride together later. Can we talk then? And it was sort of, I mean, we had a difference of opinion on that clearly. And there was a little bit of a flash and then okay, got it, cool, you know, and you move on. But better that than me just, you know, playing along, answering the questions and then resenting that I didn't get my 3 chapters read or something like that, or didn't just get
your
time. Go away, go away a little bit and then come back to the relationship and the fun or whatever it was.
Well, great. So let's touch on one more question from another online caller. We have a question from Caitlin, who asked, which traveling habits would be a deal breaker?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, my answer, I think, is on theme with the first question we had, which is really they're not travel habits, they're kind of humanity habits.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest deal breaker for me is how a person treats other people. You know, when you're traveling, you're likely to encounter a lot of people who you may never encounter again.
Yeah.
And so for a person I'm with to be discourteous or entitled in the extreme or just sort of, you know, dismissive of other people or not curious about other people or not interested in meeting people wherever we go or kind of finding something unique about people,
mm-hmm.
that's a turnoff and could approach deal breaker mm-hmm. level to me.
Yeah.
Being just nasty to servers or, you know, people who are sort of stuck in the position of needing to help us.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, being nasty, you know, most people would say, yeah, I don't like it when people are nasty. But the thing about being interested in showing that engagement in other people, that's a value of yours that, you know, not everyone would share. I was doing this sort in my head thinking, oh, if I'm with someone who's sort of naturally more introverted, then where am I in that? You know, is that okay with me? And just realizing this is like travel almost like, you know, being with someone for a longer period of time, we're more likely to see what their patterns are and bump up against it in a way that we're going to, you know, my deal breakers are going to sort of rise to the surface.
Sure.
And I also think there is this piece about, you know, Like it doesn't make sense to think, you know, I have to be okay being in the car for 3 days with someone, you know.
Right.
Things can get elevated to deal-breaker status for me mm-hmm. when they're not necessarily when I'm under that kind of, you know, pressure or, you know, just to spend a lot of time with
right.
someone.
Right, so the logic is, like, if I can't stand 3 days in the car with you, how could I ever do, like, all of life together?
Yeah,
I think a lot
like
of people go to that
yeah,
kinda,
like
cut it off
that's
reaction.
That's a deal-breaker.
Yeah, I can't do the next 80 years.
Right.
3 days. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be that way. Like, what about these 3 days? Was someone
right.
satisfying? Is it really a reason to, you know, toss the whole relationship out?
Yeah.
Or would this have been good work for me to do about what's annoying me and what I really want?
Yeah, my advice to myself is be suspicious of my deal breakers
yeah.
after a couple days in a car.
Yeah.
Or in any high-pressure situation. It's kind of like take that time that we're talking about to sort of be with it and really do a sort because – you know, what we do here in, mm-hmm. in, you know, in a lot of our personal development at the Wright Foundation is we're, you know, we actually purposely put people in high-pressure situations. And as a part of that, we, you know, we see whatever is a trigger for me or a charge for me is going to kind of flare up because I'm in a, you know, I'm under stress
right.
or, you know, and
right.
and that vacation is one of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, vacations are not always calm and relaxing. Vacations
no.
are certainly stressful and they're out of
they
the norm. And, you know, the things that bug me are going to flare up more than normal. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's a deal breaker. But for me, you know, I think mine, you know, someone not wanting to do things with me, you know, wanting to sort of lounge, that's a vacation deal breaker. You know, you want to just hang out in the hotel. You don't want to go out and be
right.
active and do things.
But that's a deal breaker in your life, too. You don't go home after work and just sit there much.
Yeah.
From what I know of you.
Yeah.
You know, you do interesting things. You take classes. You know, work on transforming, you know, your creative side or getting out socially.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And at the same time, it's not a requirement that a man I date have the same level of that I have.
Sure.
There's sort of an in-between that's fine with me. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you'll do activities with me, but you want to hang out more in the time we're not together, that's fine. That's going to be more of a flare-up on a vacation because it's the whole time together. So
right.
that's not necessarily the best indication. Because
right.
if I'm looking for you to just meet me at my level,
right.
it's a bigger test.
Yeah, so the thing to not let – the thing that could be a deal-breaker is how you negotiate that.
Yeah.
And similar to the non-vacation aspects of your life. If you just, you know, leave in a huff because he doesn't want to do something and, you know, see you later, storm out.
Yeah.
That's deal breaker territory.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, let's work this through. What do you really want? What's the yearning behind wanting to lounge around in the hotel all day versus be with me out on the fun, exciting town?
Yeah.
Those make interesting conversations.
Yeah.
That aren't all or nothing or don't. I guess this is a principle for me
yeah.
in dating overall. Nothing means anything automatically.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that happens that automatically to me says, oh, you got to end this.
Yeah.
Nothing has that level of significance to me. Now, maybe there are things I just haven't experienced.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't run across those things that are automatic deal breakers, but everything's worth working.
Yeah. No, that's fitting actually with one thing I'm thinking right now is I made a rule for myself, which is no ultimatum. Which doesn't mean I'm not going to end a relationship. It just means that space, because an ultimatum for me tends to come out of that space of I'm in a fight or there is a disagreement, and I just in that moment it's very hard for me to see beyond my way or my viewpoint.
Right.
And even if I don't say the ultimatum, you can pick up
you might
on
have it in your head.
yeah,
and
you can feel, yeah,
you can, this or else.
Yeah, you can feel that, and that's just not a place that serves me when it comes
yeah.
to negotiation and getting what I want and getting satisfied.
Right.
So I'm just looking at, you know, like no ultimatums coming from a different space and a different place than that. So
great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to our folks who've written in. It's great to get to chat, and especially as we approach summer and, you know, the inevitable long weekend travel is going to come around, to have these things in mind I think really helps. And if you'd like to learn more about other programs, tools, things available through the Wright Foundation, you can always visit us at our website, wrightliving.com. There's also information there about the live events we host, either short evening events where you can learn just a little tidbit and do some networking, or our weekend-long foundations training experience where you can kind of learn the whole game of how we view our process of personal development and all the different forms that it can take. So check that out if that's of interest to you and you haven't yet. And join us again 2 weeks from now when we take on our next topic for dating and singles. And in the meantime, have fun out there.